Okay, today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. This is daf Nun Dalet. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, continuing with various minhagim. Mokom shenagu lahadlik et haner b'leila yom ha-kippurim. Madlikim, mokom shenagu shelo lahadlik, ein madlikim. Now, as we'll see, the question is whether you light neiros for Yom Kippur. The question over here is whether it's more kedai not to have light. Usually on Shabbos, of course, we're makpid dafka because of Shalom Bayis. And on Yom Kippur, we are certainly not interested in encouraging people to sleep together. So the question is one more likely to be nichshal in sleeping with one's wife with a light or without a light? I guess it depends how beautiful or ugly your wife is, right? But so that's a question in the Mishnah. It's a different minhagim. And madlikim bebote knesia to bebote midrasha. Certainly, we do light in places where it has nothing to do with the one's personal life. Ubimavoota afilim, certainly in dark alleys where it's important to be able to see. And valgabeh cholim, people who are ill. That's for no question. The only issue, as the Gemara now explains, tana ben shamru ladlik ben shamru lo ladlik shneim ledavar echad nitkavnu. Both groups. We're basically interested in one thing, to make it less likely that you would end up sleeping with your wife. Omer Rav Yehoshua, Dorash Rav Avamech Kulam Tzadikim Le'olam Yirshu Aretz. So it says in the Pasuk, Klal Yisrael, they're all tzadikim. They'll be zeche to Elam Haba. What does that mean? It means you've got people that have very different minhagim. Some people will look askance at the people who light you're lighting candles for Yom Kippur. They forgot what it's all about. And the other people say just the opposite. What? You're not going to be Rambam Bignaris from Kippur. Both of them are completely tzaddikim, ben shamar lahadlik, ben shamar lo lahadlik. The kavana in both cases was for exactly the same thing. Shneim ledavar achad miskavin. And the question is, where is it more serviceable? Now, this bichlal is a beautiful introduction to the whole concept of various minhagim, in which the idea that people have a monopoly on truth or on what exactly is the best way to do things is the point of the parak, is that, especially this beautiful Mishnah, is that you may have completely opposite approaches to things, but both of them are exactly the same in terms of what it is that they're trying to achieve in the end, and different places and different strokes for different folks and different shikolat das and different contexts. And it's absurd to try to deal with one minhag in terms of the other minhag. And therefore, we try to avoid as much as possible for people to ever get into fights over minhagim. You just have to look in a Beit HaKnesset at the time that it's time to say Kaddish, or if they're davening the Nesach Svard and the Nesach Ashkenaz. God help us, you see that whenever people of different minhagim get together, we got problems. So therefore, the Mishnah wants to be koveya, particularly in terms of the mokor of the Ummah and the identity of Klal Yisrael when it comes to Pesach, that on the contrary, every mokom has a mokor for their minhag, and we need to be careful not to create any type of sikhsuch over minhagim. Om Rav Yehuda, Om Shmuel. When it comes, and now that you're talking about lighting candles, you should know that Ein Mevorchim Al Ur Ela B'Motzei Shabbat. There's no time that we make a bracha on the Etzem fire. We make a bracha LaHadlik Ner, but that's for the mitzvah of the Hadlaka. But as far as the Etzem fire is concerned, the only time that we make a bracha, which of course is the reference to Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, is on Motzei Shabbat. And why do we do it then? Because of Tchilat Briyato, because the beginning of fire is on Motzei Shabbat, because during the time that Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden and he was using the Or HaGanuz, so there was no inyan of fire. What we need fire for? But when it came after the Girush from Gan Eden on Motzei Shabbos, now Adam is going out into a dark and lonely world, so it's time for him to figure out what is he going to do. So therefore, at that point, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the insight, and that's the Asher Borei Elohim La'asot, that humans can be creative and start working with fire. And that's the time. So because that was the time of the first fire, therefore we make a bracha on it at that time. Tosfos actually discusses, why wouldn't we make a bracha since we're nehneh from the fire? So why isn't it a birchas hanehneh? We do make a bracha on light. We say Yotzer Or. We say in the Tfilas. We do have a bracha every day on that. And he's mechalik that only Birchat HaNe'anin, where the Hana is Nichnas Legufa on some level. So it's actually absorbed into your body, even if it's just smell. But all of those are Birchot HaNe'anim, things that you enjoy, like a beautiful day and lovely weather and things like that, which people always think to themselves, gosh, you know, I wish there were a bracha for this, right? And indeed, on those things, Chazal were not koveya the bracha, except, of course, the special brachas of Shechiyonu and things like that, where it's mizman lizman. As far as when it comes to the idea of why we're mevarech on the Or every day, that's because it's mitkaseh at night. So something that is mischadesh, chadashim labekarim, on its new chiddush, that's when we say the bracha. So when it comes to Or, we say the bracha every morning. When it comes to fire, we say the bracha as a commemoration of the time in which it was first created. And that was the Trilas Bria. Homar lo husaba v'yitema rabba barbachana. So a certain old man we're waiting for, and some say, well, it wasn't really, it was just Rabbi Baruch Hanna, but, you know, he's also a good source. And he said, yes, yeah, sure. Good, 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 excellent. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, that is absolutely the right way to say it. So I guess we'd say in English, well said. Ula, havirachiv chamra v'yaza. So now Ula was once riding along calmly on his donkey, and as we find very often, that there were Talmidim that would walk to the side, or younger Talmidim Chachomim would walk to the side. And Avishakel Va'azel Rib Abba, Miyaminesu Rib Abba, was walking along on the right, and Rabba Barbachana was walking along on the left. And Rib Abba says to Ula, is it really true that you guys quote Rabbi Yochanan? That's what I heard, that Ein Mavorchem Ela Or Ela B'Motzei Shabbat, Ova T'chilat B'riyatohu, which is, of course, what we just learned in this story, which is mashma, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you did not make a bracha on a fire after Yom HaKippurim. So for the Havdolah on Yom Kippur, there was no Birchat Borei Morei HaEsh. Is that what you said? Now, Ula was very upset with that. And he turned around and he gives a really horrible, dirty look to Rabbi Barbachana on his left side. So Rabbi Barbachana, who understood what the meaning was of the dirty look, said to him, no, wait a minute. Somebody is mixing. I never said that. Analava Hamre, I talked about Rabbi Yochanan and a brocha over fire. Yes, but this guy is getting very confused. I'll tell you exactly what I said. The Toni Tanma Kameda Rabbi Yochanan. So somebody quoted over it, did in front of Rabbi Yochanan, namely that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, that if Yom Kippur comes out on a Shabbos, then even in places where they say don't put on Neres on the evening of Yom Kippur, even in those places, even Makom Shama Shelo Ladlik, because of Kvod HaShabbat, we are Madlik on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yochanan said, after that guy finished, he said, no, you should know that the Chachomim Osrim even on Yom HaKippurim, which is Chal Yos B'Shabbos. Now that was the only time that I spoke about Rabbi Yochanan Benogea Shabbos and lights. Now somebody misquoted me over here and thought that I was talking about the bracha over the Ur, not the Or and lighting candles. He thought I was talking about Avdolah, and I never, ever said that, because I know it's not true. I know Rabbi Yochanan holds you're supposed to light for Avdolah after Yom Kippur. So Ula said, okay, Ada Tehei, that's really true. So Korelei Rav Yosef said the Pasuk of Mayim Amukim, Eitzah B'Lev Ish V'Ish Tfuna Yidlena, that Pasuk applies right over here. Listen, I mean, Mayim Amukim Eitzah B'Lev Ish, people can keep something inside and not say it openly, right? Now, Ula, he wasn't going to make a big fuss over it and start yelling at Rabbi Barbachana. He looked at him, and he gave him a dirty look. In that dirty look, he kept in a lot of issues, which was that, you know, I mean, we know the Rabbi Yochanan, what he holds a Kabbim, but so Yom HaKippurim, v'chule, v'chule. That's a reference to Ula. He didn't say anything. He kept it belebo. But Ish Tvuna Yidlena, a person that has Bina, that's a reference to Rabbi Barbachana. He drew it out. He understood what it was all about. He knew exactly what to say about it. And then in the end, Ula said, oh, beautiful. That's absolutely true. So those who actually, Inu, Kaman Savrua, so how about the ones who refused to accept, meaning Ula and Rabbah Bar Bar Chana, and they said, no, it's simply not true. So according to whom do they hold that Rabbi Yochanan says that even on Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Yom Kippur, you are supposed to make a bracha on the Havdalah light? Ki hadiyom Rabbi bin Yom Bayefet Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mevorchim ala ur, bein b'motzei Shabbat, bein b'motzei Yom Kippurim. They were basing it on this, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you actually do make a special bracha on the lights, Barim Orei HaEsh, and this is on Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Yom Kippur, even when Yom Kippur is not a Mitzvah Shabbos, v'chein amadavar, this is the minig that we know all over, and that was Rabbi Yochanan. That's why Ula was upset that there was this rumor going around that he said that Rabbi Yochanan said you only make a bracha on Mitzvah Shabbos. Meisvei. Ein mevarchim ala ur ala Mitzvah Shabbat. How did Rabbi Yochanan say you're supposed to make a bracha on Mitzvah Yom Kippur? If it says beferish in a brisa, you only make the bracha bari maraya eish on Mitzvah Shabbos, and there's a very good reason for it. Ho il vitchilat briato was the time of Mitzvah Shabbos. And in fact, continues the brisa, when you see the first light that somebody lit after Shabbos, the first candle, that's when you make the bracha, because that is the zman of the bria. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't make a bracha as soon as you see it. The takana is to actually be mesader the bracha on the coats of Havdalah. You wait till you make Havdalah, and then you make a special bracha on the ur, even where you saw it when you were walking home from shul. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, halachak Rabbi Yehuda. So if Rabbi Yochanan over here paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, it's mashma that he's agreeing with the fact that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim don't have any problem with the fact that you only say it on Mitzvah Shabbos. Nobody said a word over here about Mitzvah Yom Kippur, so now I'm really confused. If that look is like Rabbi Yehuda, so then that appears to mean that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you do not say what the Birchas Borei Moreya Eish on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So I don't understand. How could Rabbi Yomer Bar Yefes claim that Rabbi Yochanan said that you do? No, it's not a problem. And this, we're about to see for the first time, this new halacha that is so confusing to people, and that is, there is a big difference between the two cases. Kan bu'ur sheshavat, and kan bu'ur hayotse min ha'itzim u'min ha'avanim. So, what this means is, that b'nogeh mitzvah Yom Kippur, I mean, we need to think for a moment, why in the heck would we actually light something on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, which has nothing to do with the Brias HaOr? In what way is it different than anything else in any other time? So the point over here is that if there was a candle that was burning on Yom Kippur, so you had this candle from before Yom Kippur. According to Rashi, even if you lit this because someone was ill and it was an emergency in the hospital room, but nobody else was allowed to use it, so then a way of distinguishing and being mavdil, what is new now that Yom Kippur is over? What's new is that the very ur that was usur to us before is now mutter to us. So it becomes part of the Havdalah and part of the celebration of the newness of the fire. That's why. But if the fire is going to be lit now with your cigarette lighter or with a match, then why in the world should I make a bracha on, all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, why would I make a bracha on a candle? It's ridiculous. So therefore, there's two completely different situations over here. On Mitzray Shabbos, even though it looks the same, and even though it's the same bracha, in reality, it has nothing to do with each other. The bracha borei ma'orea esh ha-Mitzray Shabbos is specifically because of the time of the bria of the esh. The bracha borei ma'orea esh on Mitzray Yom Kippur is a bracha on the fresh heter to utilize esh, and that's part of the havdalah, what was different before and what's different afterwards. And therefore, there's two different flames that we make the bracha on. When it comes to Shabbos, you could simply light the fire the way Adam Rishon did and celebrate that fire. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, you can only make that bracha if you actually had the fire from before. And that's why people are very makbid to try to make sure that they have something set aside that is there in order to say the bracha from Mitzvah Yom Kippur, something that would not be utilized on Yom Kippur. And now there's a question, by the way, if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide, and then you're making the bracha on Mitzvah Shabbos, is there an inyan to look for an Ur Sheshavat even on Mitzvah Shabbos? The minhag is to attempt to do an Ur Sheshavat, to be yotzei both of these inyanim, even on Mitzvah Shabbos, which is Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Tani Chada. And now continuing this exact point is the Braita that says, Ur ha-yotzei min ha-itzim u-min ha-avanim, mevorchin alav in one Braisa. And another Braisa says, no, you can't make a bracha if you just light a flame. And that's the point, Lokasha. The first Braita, we were talking about Matzor Shabbos. And on Matzor Shabbos, of course, you can light a fire and turn on your hadlokas, Havdalah candle. But on Matzor Yom Kippur, where it says you cannot, that, in fact, is Matzor Yom Kippur. And that was what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. And that's why Ula actually was upset, because Rabbi Yochanan would never have said something against the dinim in the Braita over here. Fine. Okay, so now we had a machlokas before. We mentioned where exactly do we make the bracha. So according to the Tanakhama, you make the bracha bari morei ha'esh as soon as you see the light. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you wait until Havdalah, and you make it as part of your Havdalah. Now, the truth is that Rabbeinu HaKadosh would actually spread out the brachas, meaning that when he came out, the first time he saw light, he would not light a candle. He would say, Borei Maria Eish, but Rabbi Chia actually did like Rabbi Yehuda. And he was Bechansan. He would gather together all of the brachas, the bracha on the fire, the bracha on the besamim. He would put them all together with the Havdalah. Rabbi, if he walked by a place where somebody had good smells, he would make the Borei Minei Besamim as well, as soon as he got there. Om Rabbi Yitzchak Bar-Avi Dimi. I just want you to know something, that even though Rabbi would in fact be Mifazer, and he made the brachas as soon as he could, when he got home, he would make Havdalah the same way as everybody else, and he would say a Borei Morei Ha'esh, and he would say Borei Minei Besamim again, with his Havdalah, in order to be motzi the family with the Havdalah, so he would say these brachas again. Now, so the question is, I mean, what is the heter to say the brachas again? This is a big question. Are we talking about in terms of the mitzvah of chinuch, and it's not a bracha levatalah because you're basically teaching your children what it's like for them to be making Havdalah? That would be true on then only with Kitanim, but over here it says B'nei Beito, Mashma, everybody. And it's interesting that it says that the halacha that the Shabrua brings in the Bir Halacha is that it's only for Kitanim, where you also have the mitzvah chinuch, that you're allowed to repeat a bracha. But generally speaking, remember that there's a din of Arvus, Ko Yisrael Arevim Zebezet, and if it's difficult for a person to make a bracha, they're not Bekim in the bracha, so generally we say you can be motzi them. And in fact, Rav Moshe points out in a tshuva that an older person, when it says kitanim, it doesn't mean kitanim, only kitanim, because a gadol who doesn't know is the equivalent of the katan, because mitzad the din arvus, everybody has a responsibility to see to it that every other person in Klal Yisrael would be aware of his mitzvahs, and therefore he paskins that there would be no problem in saying it for someone who's not a baki in the halacha, even in the bracha, even if he's a gadol. Ask the Gemara, now wait a second, you're telling me that fire only appeared on Matzoi Shabbat? What are you going to do with the Braita? There's a similar Mishnah in Avos with small changes, as you will recall, that there was a Tanya, Soredvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbat Bin Hashmashot. So between the last instant of Bria on the Sheshes Yemei Bereshis and the first moment of Shabbos, remember the Rashi that talks about how it looked to people as if, it would have looked to people as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being buried on Yom HaShabbos, which is one of the explanations that it says, V'yichalalim b'yom HaShvi'i, or how could it be b'yom HaShvi'i? So one answer is Menucha, Bar Shabbos Bar Menucha, but the other answer is that the B'nai Adam, they have to have these wide distinctions between things. And therefore, time to them has this big Bein HaShmoshes period. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have that problem. And there, it's Kichut HaSaira, I mean, the most insane way, right? Absolute, whatever is considered to be Yom, whatever is considered to be Laila. So this was that period of the Bein HaShmoshot in which there was a time between completely creative making and between the second stage of Bria, which is, of course, Hasher Bara Elohim La'asot. Now, that La'asot leaves things to people. That's the whole point, La'asot. Now it's up to you to do. So what this means is, beautifully, that the things that were going to be in our hands to do were also prepared to whatever extent necessary to enable us to actually do that. And as we'll see, this means that even the unbelievable Pella that everybody simply takes for granted and which is almost maddeningly insane, such as the completely inexplicable chesed, I mean, this even mathematicians understand, of the way that mathematics somehow or other has something to do with physics and the real world. I mean, it's unbelievable, something in our heads, and this is a description of reality on some level. Where does that come from? Now, all of these, there's all kinds of beautiful statements, famous quotes about the complete surprise of the fact that there's such hat to Amma. But of course, the deeper sense is that human beings are capable of making every last element of Maisa Bereishis into their own. I mean, which is simply crazy, right? I always bring you the example of neutron star collapses that become the screens of your iPads. What in the world? How is that? How would anybody come up with that idea? I mean, it's completely mad. And where would you come up with all of the ideas that are, it's not just the ideas, with the fact that you have a shlita over these things and can form it into anything that you want. All of this is understood by Chazal as being part of that transition between the Maisa Bereishis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Maisa B'nai Adam. So therefore, anything that was part of that Hachana is going to be within that time. And therefore, we include in this Elohein, so we have the Be'er, and we have the Mun, and we have the Keshet. These were all things that were going to be developing in the relationship of B'nai Adam to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How about Ktav? How about the Machtev? How about the Luchot? So we have, so Rashi brings two pshatim. Ktav is the concept of Ktav, which he doesn't like. And he believes that this is a reference to the Luchos, all of it. So the Ktav on the Luchos, which was done almost as part of Maisa Bereishis, because it's like, how does it stand there, B'nais? How do you have letters? And this, of course, is the relationship, as we said, of Chok Tochot, and the background to the foreground, in letters where there's something inside the letter, and what holds it up? I mean, how do you have a letter Samach, which goes all the way around, and yet there's a middle to it, right? So that's that Ktav. The Machtev is the special stylus, according to this. According to the other Lashon, it would be Miktav, which is the not only the names of the Osis, but the way of the Osis are written, and the Luchos themselves. Kivro Shel Moshe, which stands for the entire concept of things that are hidden and that make no sense that they should be hidden, because they're right there in front of your nose. And nonetheless, anything that is not given to you, this is a beautiful pshat by Rav Kitov, wonderful person. Anything that is not given to you is not given to you. It could be right there in front of your nose, and you've got these expeditions that measure, and they take an exact telescopic sighting of where it is that Kivro Shel Moshe is. They mark it on Google Maps and everything, and then they come up there, and somehow or other, now it's down at the bottom of the mountain. So the point is, even the things that are most open to you, unless it's Megula to you, meant to be Megula, you're not going to have any connection to it. The Maharasha Madbo Moshe Ve'Elio, which is the place of the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoga, Hodieni Noz Drachecha, the Ptichat Pi'aton, the fact that we can hear the donkey to speak, Ptichat Pi'aretz, Livloat HaRasha'im, all of these things are not part of the normal Hanhoga of Bria, but they're all built in for the needs of history and its actual responsiveness. Now, there are additional things. And here's where we get to our problem. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Mishum Aviv, that this includes fire and also the mule. Now, it doesn't mean literally a mule, but the fact of hybrids, we'll see later, that means that it's possible to utilize DNA in such a way as to create hybrids. Rabbi Yoshia Omer Mishum Aviv, Afa Ail. And what about that aisle that was Avram? Avram, it was there the whole time, man. It's been there for thousands of years. But you never noticed it until the moment that it was necessary. So that's the aisle and also the shamir, that special worm that was used for the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you think? How do you think humans became tool users if they didn't have the tools to make the original tools? I mean, what does that first primate do when he's starting to be working with steel? I mean, how's he going to handle the metal, you know? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have made those first tongues. And of course, this means the first level of every part of human creativity had to come from somewhere. And so that's the first tools, the tzavta, bitzavta, mitabta. I mean, who do you think made, listen, every tongue is made with the tongue, right? Because you have to hold it while it's white hot metal. So who made the first pair? Safta kamaita man ovin. Alai, obviously, it must have come b'dei shemayim ben hashmoshes. So amalei, I mean, why? I mean, you can make tongues in a mold, can't you? Just pour the metal into the mold and then stick a screw between the two parts and beautiful, you know? Or you can make the tongues that you just throw like an ice pick. So efshia seno bitvus v'ikbe enekevan, what's wrong with that? I say on the contrary, alai b'riya b'dei adamu. On the contrary, I would say that it's a human thing. Obviously, his Kabbalah was that it was b'dei shemayim. But obviously, again, it's meant, as the Mefarshim explained, as the concept, the idea that things that become part of human creativity have to be built in to make them part of human creativity. But anyway, Rav Nechemiah said that the fire was during Bein HaShemashot, and you said the fire was an Adam creation at the end of Shabbos, not Bein HaShemashot. Isn't that a contradiction? Answers the Gemara, it depends. If you're talking about Ur Didan, you're talking about human fire, yes, that's true. But what Rav Nechemiah was talking about was the Ur of Gehinnom, that you need special fire in hell, and where did that come from? So that came during Bein HaShemashot. So the Ur Didan was B'Motzei Shabbos. Ur de Gehinnom, that came on Erev Shabbos. Wait a minute, that's not true either. I thought Gehinnom came way before anything else, no? I mean, you got to start with hell. I mean, everybody knows that. So, Ur de Gehinnom be'erev Shabbos Ivri, doesn't it say in a braisa there were seven things that were created before anything else in the world? And that includes Torah, Teshuvah, Gan Eden, Gehinnom, Kisei HaKovod, the Beis HaMikdash, the Shmo Shel Mashiach. We understand that Shmo doesn't mean his telephone book name. And all of those in Yonim are necessary for there to be a Bria. So what do you mean? Or Shel Gehinnom, Ur, I should say, Shel Gehinnom was created only on Erev Shabbos is not true. So something's wrong. But before we get to explaining why nothing's wrong, let's just take a look at the psukim that back this up. We know that Torah came before Bria because it says Hashem kamani reshit darko. So the beginning was before the maisim was Torah. Tshuva dechtiv terem arim yuladu. Before the mountains came. Uchtiv toshev enosh adaka vatum eshuvu b'nei adam. It's in that same continuation. Before the mountains came the call to teshuva. Gan Eden, Dichtiva Yita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'edem Mikedem. Mikedem means before the Bria. Gehenem, Ki Aroch Mi Etmol Tofteh. Remember we learned before that Tofteh is a reference to Kol HaMitpateh Nofel Sham. Anybody's Mitpateh B'Yitzro. So if his Yitzro seduces him, he ends up in hell. Therefore we call it Tofteh. And it says Mi Etmol, that means before the Bria. Kisei HaKavod Beit HaMikdash Dichtiv Kisei HaKavod Melrom Mi Rishon. It's above the first steps. Mekom migdashenu. Shmo shel Mashiach. Techtiv yi shmo l'olam. Lifnei shemesh. Before the sun ever came, there was Yinon Shemo. His name was already shining. All right, but getting back to the question. We said before that the Ur shel Gehinnom, so that was their Ben HaShemashes. And the Ur that we're referring to, in the Bracha, that Adam made, that's on Mitzray Shabbos. But here it says that Gehinnom was made before the Bria. And it says the Gemara, there's two different elements to Gehinnom. You have to have space for Gehinnom. So Chalala, the space for Gehinnom, which is in general, that's what we're talking about. So the space for Gehinnom came before creation. The fire of Gehinnom, its functionality, that was on Erev Shabbos. And our fire is on Mitzray Shabbos. But even that's not true, because it says that even the fire of Gehinnom was not made Bein HaShemashot. It says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ur Shebarak Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Sheni B'Shabbat, the Ur that was created on the Yom Sheni, which was the time of Machlokas, and all hell breaks out because of the Vayavdel Elohim, the now Ben Amayim Asher Me'al Rakia Mitachat Rakia, that was all hell broke out then. That's the basis of Machlokas. And that was the beginning of the fire of Gehenna. And that never it can be put out. Ein lo kviya lo olam, shenemar, v'yatsu v'ra'u b'figrei anashim ha'poshim b'iki tolatam lo tamut v'isham lo tichbeh. You cannot put out the Ur Shel Gehenna, which means that the Ur Shel Gehenna was b'yom ha'sheni. So now I'm really confused. Now we got yet another reference. And how do you explain that? Vamer Rabbi Benobit Breder of Ula, Mipnei Malo Nema Kitov Visheni Bishabbat. That's exactly why we don't find a Kitov on that day. Mipnei Shenivra Baur Shogeina. It's not a good day. Vyomer Rabbi Elazar. Afa Pishol Nema Bo Kitov, Chosef Kalalo Bishishi. It still ultimately is a good thing that we have a hell because it says Vayara Elohim et Kol Asher Asav Hinei Tov Ma'otz in the context of Bria as a whole. We definitely need a hell, but anyway, now we've got a problem because now we're saying that even the Ur of Gehenim was on Yom HaSheni, the Mokum Shel Gehenim, that is to say, the space Chalolo was before the Bria, and our fire, you're saying, is Metzoi Shabbos. So what was the fire on Bein HaShemashos? Okay, change my mind. Here we go. Chalala, you're right. That was before my separations. Ur di day, we're going like Rabbi Yossi. Yes, B'Sheni B'Shabbat. Then the idea of the Ur, the Dan, that's what was created, Bein HaShemashot, but it's still not a contradiction. Because, as we explained at the beginning of this whole sugya, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make it possible for an issue in the structure of creation to be a function of our minds. And for that, that means the machshava of what Ur is, and that it should be possible for an Adam to be tofes in how to utilize energy and create a fire out of other energy, that was indeed put into place on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. But until Adam actually utilized it and put it into effect, it wasn't made until Mitzray Shabbos. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, there were Shnei Dvarim Alu B'Machshava Libarot Erev Shabbat, but in reality, they only came into being on Mitzray Shabbat. And that was two out of the things that I mentioned. Because it took until Mitzray Shabbat for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Ma'orer the Deah in Adam HaRishon that he should be the one to make it. Me'ein Dugma Shel Mala. So he became intelligent according to the way that Chochmah was put into the Bria. So Kaveyachol, Adam's mind began to function the way God created the world itself. And because of that, Adam took two Avanim and utilize friction and understood the meaning of the friction and that it would create a flame and Yotzmei Amur, which was an incredible moment in my Bereishis, the first moment of Adam's La'asot, first thing that he did and the beginning of the atomic wars that we have today, God help us, the Yotzmei Amur, and because of this, the Ur came out. And then the next thing that we could do is because of his understanding of reproduction, he was able to crossbreed and create a parrot. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that's not true. The parrot waited not to Adam, it was until Ana, because it says over there, Hu Ana shematzata yemim bamidbar. This is the Ana who discovered how to make these hybrid mules. Dorshei chamurota yomrim, and in fact, people who saw into closed ideas in the psukim, they say, look, this is perfect because Ana himself was a mamzer, as I'm going to show you. And he, because of that, was engaged in mixing DNA that isn't meant to be mixed. So because of that, lefichach evi psu leolam, shenemar. Take a look at the pasuk. Ela b'nei seir hachori. And it goes on to say, Tzivon and Ana. So that means Tzivon and Ana were brothers. B'nei seir. But then it says, Ela b'nei Tzivon ayava Ana. So I don't understand. Is Ana Tzivon's son, or is he Tzivon's brother? Well, as Richie will tell you in Appalachia, that ain't no question. Because Malamed Shabbat Tzivon Alimo, this is my brother, and this is my son at the same time. Exactly. So he went and slept with his mother, and his brother was his own son. So Malamed Shabbat Tzivon Alimo, lead me mena Ana. So therefore, because of that mixture, that incestuous mixture, he created, so to speak, incestuous animals. V'dilma Treyana Havi. Maybe there are two Anas. I mean, you know, they could have named him after the same great grandpa or whatever. Omar Rava, oh man, I got you on this one. I'm so happy about this. Amina Milta de Shvor Malkalo. I'm going to tell you something that even the Shvor HaMelech, who's he referring to? Shmuel. They used to call Shmuel Shvor Malka because everything that he said, La Halacha, was always true in Dinim. Ikiri Amri, some say it was actually Rav Papa that says, I know the answer to that one. Amina Milta de Shvor Malka lo Amra, he was referring, with his Shvor Malka, he was referring to Rabbah, I should say, who also, the halacha was always like him. Anyway, what's my hidden answer? Look at the pasuk again. Omar Kara, Hu Ana Asher Matzata Yamimu. Hu Ana means he is the same Ana. Don't think it's somebody else. So Hu Ana to me, Kara, it's the same Ana that was mentioned before, Mark B'nai Seir. Tana Rabban and Asara, Devorim Nivru Be'er of Shabbat, Be'en Ashmar Shod Ve'elu Heit. We said the Be'er, the Man, the Keshet, the Ktav, the Machtev, the Luchot, Kivrosha Moshe, Maharasha, Madba Moshe Veliyo, Ptichat Piya Aton, Ptichat Piya Oretz, Livloat HaRasha'im, in the terms of Kerach Ladosar, V'yesh Omrim, Af Maklosha Laharon, which was the simen to Aaron's Gedula, including the Shkedeo Frachea that suddenly ripened, V'yesh Omrim, Af HaMazikim, even the Shedim were created at that moment, and that's all of these Twilight Zone issues, the Yesh Omrim, and others say, even the Begodim of Adam HaRishon, what exactly Begodim of Rishon we're talking about? Some say we're talking about the Begodim of Adam HaRishon that were stolen ultimately by Esav, that went to Nimrod, that had a picture of every different type of Chaya and Ov that he would want, and as soon as he would appear, they would bow down to Adam, and he didn't need to hunt them, and Nimrod had taken that, and others learn Begodim of Adam HaRishon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them at the time of the Girush Gan Eden. Tana Rabbanu Shiva Devarim Mechusim B'Bnei Adam. There's seven things that people will never know. Elohim, they will never know in advance the day of their own death. Yom HaMita. They will never know in advance the Yom HaNechama. Rashi understands Yom HaNechama means their day of personal Nechama. So people are in Tzoras. They can't point to a time where I can know that by then it'll be over. You never know when the light at the end of the tunnel is really going to be there. But, I mean, others learn Yom HaNechama means Klal Yisrael's. Omek HaDin. This is amazing. The Ben Ishkai. I forgot for a moment. The Ben Ishkai's got a beautiful shot. How he understands Rashi, Omek HaDin. He says, Omek HaDin means to make a judgment call. People never make the right judgment calls. They hear some type of stupid rumor, they believe it. Fake news, they believe it. Conspiracy theories, they believe it. Lashon Hara, they believe it. They have no way of weighing things. So the Omek HaDin is completely mechusa from people. You don't really know what's in another person's mind. You cannot read. You read the other person. The inandam yodea b'ma mistaker. You never know what you're going to end up making money off of. Umalchut beit David matay tachzor. You never know when the moment is when the malchus will be returned, and you never know when the West is going to collapse. Umalchut chayevet matay tichle. I'll tell you over a maysa that you never know what it is you're going to make money from. This is a story. One of my son, Shefi, one of his talmidim. So he went into business. This is absolutely crazy. Went into business a year ago. Opening up a hot dog stand in a stadium in Chicago, right? He's going to make money selling kosher hot dogs. Okay, it's always great that the Jews are always buying kosher hot dogs. Anyway, comes along Corona. A few weeks afterwards, pow, there goes his hot dog stand. Meanwhile, he's ordered, 100,000 plates and 100,000 masks that he uses, so that everything should be clean and so on and so forth. So he's got this brilliant idea. He's got 100,000 masks. Nobody's got masks. So he starts selling masks. He was zocha a couple of weeks afterwards to his first order of $17 million worth of masks, if he can find them within 10 days. And because of all of his contacts, so he got that first order. He's now he's dealing with $100 million orders from his hot dog stand. Is that amazing? So speaking about never knowing what's going to happen. Unbelievable story. Okay, so that's a beautiful example. And turn around on him. There were three things that were olu b'machshava li'baros, three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought of that needed to be put into place and that ended up coming into place. And let me tell you something, if God hadn't thought of it, he sure as hell should have, because there's no way that the world would have worked without it. And this is what they are. First of all, it was dinu shi'alu. First of all, ala meit she'yasriach. Can you imagine what would happen if bodies did not decay? God help us. What would we be involved in? You think the Catholic Church has got a problem? We'd be sitting here in a planet that everybody would be talking about. Oh, this is my great, 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 great grandfather. It would be horrifying. So thank goodness we get rid of all of those bodies. That's number one. The next thing is, ala meit she'yishtakeach min halev. People forget about the dead. And if they wouldn't, it would be overwhelming. We can't keep mourning forever. And thank God, nobody's figured out a way to really make certain that food does not rot. Because if they did, let me tell you, you'd have Google and Amazon buying up all of the food in the world, waiting until everybody is starving, and then sell it at 20 times the price that you would have been able to get it. So thank heavens, nobody has yet figured out the perfect preservative. That's beautiful. The Yesh Omrim, and some say the biggest pella of all, money. You got to be crazy to take that dollar bill and actually give away something for it. It's worth absolutely nothing. So the whole thing is pure psychology. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put into humans' mind a level of insanity that enabled them to believe in bubbles. And from those bubbles, they build the entire economy, which is just beyond belief. What a Gemara, man. A pleasure. Anyway, let me continue a little bit over here. What is the first day of Pesach? Everybody knows. At, Bash, Gar. What's the At? Doot, doot. Come on, guys. What's the Ot? What's that? Tisha B'Av. Thank you. So therefore, we go directly from Pesach to Tisha B'Av. Mokem shenagu la'asot melacha b'tisha B'Av. So now, the next meaning that we're going to be talking about is the dinim of Tisha B'Av. So if it's a place where people will do melacha on Tisha B'Av, then we do it. Mokem shenagu shelo la'asot melacha inosim. But all over, at least Talmidei Chachamim should definitely not work on Tisha B'Av, no matter what the meaning is. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel lomer lo'olam yaseh adam atzmo talmid chacham. Listen, a person should always make himself into a talmid chacham, meaning usually things that are done by talmidei chachamim for a person who isn't a talmid chacham to do were choshesh, what's called mishum yuara. Looks like you're stuck up. Not for this. And a person should always take upon himself that it's fine for me to pretend that I'm a Talmud Chacham. Omar Shmuel ein tanit zibur bebavel ala Tisha B'Av bilvad. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we do not have any din of a Tainas Tzibur ever. A Tainas Tzibur are the Taniyot that Bezdin was Gozer, and they were Gozer that it starts the night before with all of the Chumras of the Tainas Tzibur, which we're going to be getting into. And they were special. There were 24 brachas instead of 18 brachas, or 25 instead of 19 in the Shemoneh Esrei. And there was the Asifa, and there was starting at night. You had all of these different dinim that you have to keep on the Tainis. And that does not apply anywhere else except in Eretz Yisrael for the Geshami. The Rambam says that's because you need a Bez Din Mumchim, which you only have in Eretz Yisrael, to be able to be gozer that type of tainis, whereas other ta'anesim that are standard ta'anesim don't have the whole inyan of the other issues that means to be ma'ayin in what you're doing and so on and so forth. And therefore, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, that is the only time that has comparisons. We'll see, it's not exactly the same, but it has issues that are comparable. We'll see what. To the dinim of Tainas Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael. So, wait a minute. That seems to be saying that according to Shmuel, Tisha B'Av Bein HaShvashot Shelo is Asur? Because on a normal Tainas, if you're not sure if it's already Tzeis HaKochavim, it doesn't matter. The moment it's Shkia, it's already Asur to start eating. So here Shmuel says that's called a Tanis Tzibur, then he would say the same thing about Tisha B'Av. But I thought Shmuel himself said that Tisha B'Av actually ben Hashbah Shor Shelo, it's mutter to eat. I mean, I know what you can tell me. You're trying to tell me that Shmuel holds every Tanis Tzibur, if it's only a suffix and it's ben Hashbah Shor Shelo, is mutar. Note how we've gone from the entire sugya of Ben HaShemoshes Erev Shabbos into the question of Ben HaShemoshes on Tisha B'Av and the different taniyot. So does that mean that Shmuel would hold you can always eat Ben HaShemoshes? No, because Anantanan, Ochlin, Vishotin, Miba Odiyom. It says you can only eat while it's broad daylight. Okay, so what does that mean? Lemute Mai. Doesn't that mean Lemute Ben HaShemoshes? That if it's not daylight, meaning it's already after Shkia, so then you wouldn't be able to eat, right? Says the Gemara, no. Maybe it means it's got to be light, that is to say, it cannot be completely dark. So it's Lamut Mishach HaShecha. And in fact, we seem to have a brayta that says that. Ein ben Tisha B'Av le'Yom HaKippurim, ela shezes feko asur vezes feko mutar. At Yom Kippur, if you're in doubt, so then it's asur. But the Tisha B'Av is the Rabbanan, so it's mutar. Now, what do you mean? It's doubt. What doubt? What is there doubt? I mean, I'm assuming doubt means that you're talking about Ben HaShemoshes, so you don't know if it's Yom and you don't know if it's Laila, right? No, wrong. We're talking about over here, L'kiva D'Yarcha. You are not sure when Tisha B'Av or when Yom Kippur was, because you don't know when they made Yom Kippur. That's the difference. So the difference between Yom Kippur is you'd have to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, but you only keep 1 day of Tisha B'Av. So that's what we're talking about over here. Maybe when he said this about the Sveikas, maybe in Achinami, and that would be the same as Yom Kippur. So therefore, we don't have a raya for what you're saying Shmuel holds, Legabe Ben HaShemoshes. Now, that's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos says, you never keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, because we always will rely on the Rov HaShanim, where Elul always is the same. And because of that, this din is never, the Rabbanon were never makpid, they never made a takon or accepted a minhag to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. So what it must be referring to over here is where somebody got lost in the Midbar, and he forgot what the date is, and he lost his phone, and he doesn't have his Apple Watch on him, and he actually does not know what day Yom Kippur is. Okay, there, over there you have a sveik in your eyes, so you don't have no idea, there's no rove. So over there you'd have to keep a mitzvah asafik, masha inkein. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, you would not.